1 Samuel chapter 1, if you have a Bible, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1. And you can also hold your place in John 10. We're going to look over there in a little while. 1 Samuel 1 and John 10. I'm starting a new series in this from Genesis to Jesus theme that we've been doing all throughout the fall. We've been looking at biblical history and kind of walking through. The first series that I did was called The Beginning. Talked about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses. And then we did another series called The Promised Land that we just finished, where we talked about Joshua and Rahab. We talked about the judges. Jennifer did a great job 2 weeks ago talking about Ruth. I nearly said Rahab, but Ruth. And did she do a great job? Come on. She really did. If you missed any of that, please go and you can look online and you can find those. The series that I'm starting today is called The Leading Voice. The Leading Voice. I was originally going to call it Prophets and Kings, because the next thing that happens in biblical history that we're going through is a series of kings that are raised up in Israel. And inadvertently, almost every time, the kings would at some point stray away from the will of God. And then a prophet would be raised up to confront the king or to help the people get back in line with God's will. And but really what I was noticing as I was studying this and reading it was how important it was for, whether it was one of the kings or one of the prophets, how important it was for them to hear the leading voice of God. And I started thinking about how important it is for you today as well to get to that place where you really are hearing the leading voice of God. Now, that's a funny title, The Leading Voice. You've probably heard that term before, though, the leading voice. It's a term to describe a person who is known as the highest authority and expert in his or her field of study. So for example, if there's an issue with crime in a certain place, they'll call in a criminologist and they will say things like, he's the leading voice in this field of study. He's the leading voice in knowing how to eliminate crime in a certain area, or to at least lessen it. Maybe if it's a health issue or some sort of health scare, they'll call somebody in who is an expert in medicine or science, and they'll say he's the leading voice in this field of study. So you've probably heard that term before, the leading voice. In this whole series, as we look at some of the kings and prophets during this time of biblical history, I want to talk about hearing and being led by the leading voice of God. So today we're going to look at Samuel, the hearer. That's funny. When I said that for the first time last week, I thought, I don't like that title. That doesn't make sense. Then I thought, let's do Samuel the listener. But really, he did listen, but he heard. And so he is Samuel the hearer. He's the one who began to hear the leading voice of God. And let's start in 1 Samuel chapter 1. A couple of weeks ago when I spoke on the book of Judges, I showed you what I believe to be one of the saddest passages in the Bible, and it was where the children of Israel, Joshua's generation, had failed to teach the next generation, their children, about the word and the law and about the ways of God and about what God had done for them. And so that nation, or that next generation, they rose up and they rebelled against God. And I think that's one of the saddest passages in the Bible. Today I want to show you what I think is one of the scariest passages in the Bible. This is one of the scariest passages. We just had Halloween, and so people are still in that mode of, I don't know why people like to be scared. I never go see scary movies. Not because of spiritual reasons, just because I'm a big sissy. But I scare easy. But this is what I think to be one of the scariest passages in the Bible. 1 Samuel, did I say 1 Samuel 1 up at the top? Let's skip over to 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3 in verse 1. It says, then the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. Now that's not the scary part. Here's the scary part. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. To me, that's just terrifying. To live in an age where there's no revelation from God, where God's word is rare, where he's barely speaking to people. He's not revealing himself to anyone. He's not giving direction. Proverbs 29:18, in the King James, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But the New King James says it like this, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraints. And it really can feel like we are living in a time where people are truly casting off restraints. And I'm not talking about getting free from bondages in their life. That would be a good thing. But what I'm talking about here is where there's no restraint on people acting out just whatever they want to do, whatever they feel like doing, giving in to their soulish passions and their fleshly lust. And what it's talking about here is lawlessness and chaos. Completely corrupt society. That's what happens when people cast off restraints. And if you listen to the news, if you look around what's going on a lot of times in our country and in this world, it seems like we are living in a time, much like Samuel, where the word of the Lord was rare and there was no widespread revelation. But I think it's weird because on the opposite extreme, that's what's happening out in the world, what's happening within the church, it seems like we're living in an age of revelation. You can hear some of the best words from God, preachers from around the world, just by a second or two clicking on your computer. Now you can. We're living in this age of revelation, and yet it seems like out in the world, it's not getting out there, and the world is casting off restraints, and that's what was happening here in the days of Samuel. This was happening when Eli was the priest and Samuel the young boy was serving in the tabernacle. Eli, the high priest of Israel, was a terrible leader. His sons were acting more like the corrupt culture around them than the next in line to become priests. It was an evil time. And Samuel was just a boy living and serving in the tabernacle. But the world around him had no revelation or word from God. And they were not hearing the leading voice. Let's look in verse 2. It says, "And it came to pass at that time while Eli was lying down in his place..." The man of God was asleep. He wasn't just physically sleeping, but he had drifted into a spiritual slumber. It says, "When his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see," he had no vision, no revelation. Verse 3, it says, "And before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark of God was," in other words, before the light had gone out completely, before the world was cast into utter darkness, before all hope was gone, says, "While Samuel was lying down," verse 4, "the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, 'Here I am.' So he ran to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' And he," Eli, "said, 'I did not call. Lie down again.' And he went and he lay down. Then the Lord called yet again, 'Samuel.' So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' And he answered, 'I did not call, my son. Lie down again.' Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him." Again, the word of the Lord was rare in those days, and there was no revelation. Verse 8, "And the Lord called Samuel again a third time. Then he arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you did call me.' Then Eli perceived," finally, Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. "Therefore Eli said to Samuel, 'Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.' So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel answered, 'Speak, for your servant hears.'" One thing I want you to understand is that children can hear God. Children can hear God. Samuel was just a boy at this time, but he heard the voice of God. You may say, well, that's great, Pastor, but this is a room full of adults. Well, if you're a child of God, children can hear His voice. Children can hear. Even that baby back there right now that I'm looking at, Blake's holding, whose baby you got? Oh, sorry, that's your baby, isn't it? I don't have my glasses on. Give me a break. Okay. Even that baby, even at a young age, begins to communicate. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, they don't know words yet. They may not even know exactly what you're saying, but they begin to communicate. Now, some of the times they try to, if they're hungry, they go, wah! If they need a diaper change, they go, wah! And there's a subtle difference. And usually mothers can tell, oh, that's a I'm mad cry, or that's a I'm uncomfortable cry, or that's a I'm sleepy cry and I don't want to go to bed, or that's a I need a diaper change, or I'm a hungry cry. But they're learning how to communicate. I can come in. I remember when my daughters were little babies, and I'd come in and to their bedroom after they were going about to go to bed, but it was during that time where they're still kind of fighting it and they don't really want to go to sleep. And I go in and I just talk to them, baby talk, you know? Oh, daddy's angel, you so precious. And they just look at, they don't understand a word I'm saying at that point, but they know their the voice of their father. You, as a child of God, wherever you're at in your maturity level with Him, need to understand that you can hear God. I want you to say this out loud today. And the reason I don't ask you to do this all the time, but the reason I'm asking you to say this out loud today is because I want you to hear yourself say this. All right? So say this out loud. Say, I can hear God. Y'all said it almost just like me. it sounded very, I can hear God. Let's try it a little more convincing. Say it like this. Say, I can hear God.
I can hear God.
That's right. You can hear God. I want you to know that you really can hear God because you're a child of God and God wants to communicate with His children. I want to talk about some reasons why people don't hear the leading voice of God. And notice I didn't say they can't hear, because I believe anyone can hear God. I believe even a non-believer can hear God. There's evidence of that in Scripture, where God came to someone who had not yet put their faith in Him, and yet God spoke to them. So I believe that anyone can hear God, but as a believer, I believe He wants you to hear His voice and know His voice. And so I didn't say they can't hear God, but there are some reasons why people don't hear the voice of God. Why does it seem so hard at times to hear His voice? Why is something that is so important that if we don't have it, We are at risk of perishing, the Bible says. We're at risk of casting off restraints, becoming a chaotic society that is very dangerous and unruly and lawless, and to the point to where we are perishing in our lives. Why is something so important as hearing the voice of God sometimes seems to be so hard? The first reason has to do with belief. I'm not saying they don't believe in God. They just don't believe that they can hear God. Now, some of that comes from, just a ludicrous, more mainline denominational teaching, some of these denominational teachings that are out there that say that God stopped talking centuries ago. That's just weird to me, why they would even say, but there literally is some denominations that their whole theology is based on the fact that God does not speak anymore. Like 1900 years ago, when the canon of the Bible was closed, He had nothing left to say. He got laryngitis. I don't know, but He just decided, I don't want to talk to my people anymore. That's just ridiculous. That's a ridiculous idea. But sometimes I think people hang on to that from maybe their past upbringing. But more than that, I think that some people believe that God maybe talks to some people, but they have a hard time believing that He'll talk to them. I want to tell you today, God really does want to talk to you. He wants to communicate with His children. He wants to talk to you. And so I want you to believe it. John, keep holding your place there in 1 Samuel. But look in John chapter 10 and verse 27. He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." God wants you to hear His voice so that you may follow Him, that He can lead you, that leading voice. So believe it, you can hear the leading voice of God. A second reason people may not hear the leading voice of God has to do with listening. Has to do with quite simply, they're just not listening for His voice. Another way of saying it is they're not really trying to hear His voice. They're not interested in hearing His voice. They're not listening for His voice. I think in Samuel's time, the Word of God was rare and there was no revelation from God, but I don't think it was because God just decided He didn't want to talk anymore. I think it had more to do with the fact that the people just weren't listening. They weren't expecting to hear from God. They weren't trying to hear from God. They weren't listening for the voice of God. If hearing God's voice is so important, why do you think more people are not all that interested in hearing Him? I think one reason may be that they're not sure they're going to like what He has to say. These people in Samuel's day, they were living in sin. And not only that, they were quite comfortable in their sin. They were comfortable living at a distance from God, being separated from Him. And so some people, they say, I don't know if I want to listen to hear God's voice because I may not like what He has to say. I'm comfortable in my sin. I'm comfortable in my lifestyle. I'm comfortable where I'm at right now until you're not. And then all of a sudden it's, "God, where are you? Why can't I hear you? Why aren't you speaking to me, God?" Well, He probably was trying to tell you of the danger that was coming. And if you will change the path that you're on, you're going to end up in a better place. But we just decided somewhere along the way, we didn't really want to listen because we're not sure we want to hear what He has to say. That's why some people may not be listening for God's leading voice, because they may hear Him say something that will stretch them, cause them to have to step out of their comfort zone to do something more for His kingdom. A third reason many people don't hear the voice of God has to do with distractions. Keep holding your place there in 1 Samuel, but in John chapter 10, look back at verse 1. Jesus is still talking here. He says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of the stranger." Unfortunately, though, in the day and age that we live in, I believe a lot of people are more familiar with the voice of the enemy than they are the voice of their good shepherd, the voice of their Father, the voice of God, the leading voice. You hear distractions that are coming from your enemy, and it's talking about thief and robbers and wolves and this thing. All of these things have to do with the enemy. All these things have to do with Satan. And unfortunately, I believe a lot of people are more familiar with the voice of the enemy than they are with the inner voice of God. They'll hear that voice of the enemy coming and say, "You're not worthy. You can't hear God." Not because nobody can hear God. No, you can't hear God because you're not worthy. That's the voice of the enemy. And then he brings voices of distractions, and he'll bring voices of guilt and of shame into your life. And here's the deal. I believe that God does want to talk to you even about your sin. And a lot of people say, I don't know if I want to talk to God about my sin. I don't want him to know about it. Well, guess what? He already does. But the reality is, I think he does want to talk to you even about your sin. But he never comes with a voice of guilt or shame. Anytime there's guilt and shame, it is always the voice of the enemy. And unfortunately, more people are familiar with the voice of the enemy than the voice of God. God may want to come to you and talk to you. Yes, he wants to talk to you even about your sin, but not to bring guilt and shame, but to bring guidance to freedom, to overcoming power, to lead you to that place where you're free. That's the voice of God. But a lot of times people, they're more familiar with the distracting voice of the enemy. However, I believe the enemy often uses other distractions to keep us from hearing the voice of God as well. In Isaiah 59 and verse 19, there is an interesting passage. And it says this in verse 29. It says, "When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him." How does the enemy come in like a flood? I believe that he can come in many ways, but I believe one of those ways is like a flood of words. Other words besides the Word of God bombarding your life. Other distractions coming into your life. This flood of words that is trying to drown out the Word of God. You get up in the morning and the radio's playing. And it's waking you up and you can't hear yourself think. And then you go into the bathroom and you start to get ready for work. You're ready to go wherever it is you're trying to go to. Could y'all hear me? You get the point? We need to stop the madness. Turn the TV off for a little while. Turn the radio off for a little while. Get up early so you can have a quiet time so that you tune out the distractions and you begin to hear not the voice of the enemy, not the distracting voices of this world. And you begin to listen and tune in to God. When you turn off the Facebook and the Instagrams and the computer screen and the Netflix and the, I don't even know what it is anymore out there. My kids were listening to something the other day, Free Shavakadu. Does anybody know that one? It was something on YouTube. It was supposed to be fresh avocados, but the way it was spelled on a marquee, what is Free Shavakadu? Anyway, we need to stop the madness. Sometimes we need to just turn off the flood of noise and distractions. When the enemy comes in like a flood, we need to turn it off. In Samuel's time, like him, listen for that still small voice of God. And let your posture be like Samuel's. Speak, for your servant is here. Speak, for your servant is listening. It's funny, as I was praying and writing this sermon even, my phone dinged, and I was getting a text, and instinctively, I reached for it, and I realized I'm giving in to the distracting voices of the enemy. This was a time where I had allotted to set aside to pray and to hear the voice of God and to write down the things that he was saying to me. But I was getting a text, distracting voices of the outside world interfering with that time. And so you know what? Most of the time, it can wait. Most of the time, it really can. Let me ask you honestly, what's more important than God? What's more important than your relationship and communion with Him? And I wanted to make you a promise, but I realized it wasn't true. I can't make this promise. I wanted to promise you that when you just turn off the world and listen to God's leading voice, it'll make your life more simple and easy. But I can't promise you that. That's not always true. Sometimes He will challenge you. Sometimes He will stretch you. But I can promise you this, and hear me on this today. I can promise you that even if it's inconveniencing you at times and disrupting your life, when you turn off the distractions and tune into God, your life will have more peace, more joy, and more meaning. I can't promise you that it will be easier. I can't promise you that at times He won't make your life a little more inconvenient. But I can promise you that there will be peace, there will be joy, and there will be meaning when you hear His voice. A fourth reason people don't hear the leading voice of God is fear. And I'm not just talking about being afraid that they may hear something they don't want to hear. I've already talked about that. That's why they don't listen. But it's a deeper fear. And it really is manifested like this. They are afraid to hear God, so they want somebody else to hear God for them. They want someone else to take on the responsibility of hearing God for them. And usually it's they either want a pastor, a parent, or a prophet to hear God for them. And that way, they're not responsible to develop a relationship with God that's close enough where they begin to hear God for themselves. That way, if something goes wrong, they can blame someone else besides themselves. It's fear, though. What's at the heart of that is fear. I don't know if I... The people in Samuel's day were much like the people in Moses' day. God had invited all of His children to come up to the mountain to fellowship with Him, to have a relationship with Him, to communicate with Him. And they all said, no, we're afraid. So we were just going to send a representative. Moses, you go up and you talk to God and you come back down and tell us what He said. And I think that's how it was in Samuel. That people just want somebody else to do it. They're afraid. They don't want to assume that responsibility. They don't want to mature and grow and walk in that kind of relationship with God. But like it or not, sooner or later, God wants you to go up the mountain. He wants you to hear His voice. And let me say it like this. He came down so you could go up. Jesus came down and gave His life, paying the penalty for our sin that separated us from God, so that we could go up and have a relationship with Him. Not someday in heaven, though. I'm talking about right now. We can have a relationship with God. He came down so we could go up. And after Jesus left, he said this in John chapter 16, verse 13. He says, however, when He, talking about the Spirit of truth, in other words, the Holy Spirit, He says, when the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all truth. Now, you may say, well, that's not talking about speaking to me. It's talking about how He'll guide me, maybe with some sort of impression, not speaking to us. We'll keep reading. It says, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will teach you things to come. Believe it. God wants to talk to you. He came down so you could go up. He sent His Holy Spirit down so He could speak to you, so that you could hear that leading voice. Believe it. God wants to talk to His children. He wants to guide you. Another way of saying it, he wants you to hear his leading voice. In the case of Samuel, though, they didn't even want to listen to him anymore. By chapter 8, they were begging for a king. Israel had never had a king. All the other nations around them had kings, and they wanted to be like them. So they were begging for a king. They said, Samuel, we don't even want to hear God through you anymore. We want someone else to lead us. Someone else to hear God for us. And later in this series, I'm going to talk about hearing God through wise counsel. But counsel, pastors and church leaders, we're not here. This is going to blow some of you away. We're not here to hear God for you. We're here to confirm what God may be saying to you. But we're not here to hear God for you personally all the time. That would be crazy. God wants to talk to you himself. He wants you to hear his leading voice. And you can hear the leading voice when you believe, when you listen, when you tune out the distractions, and when you overcome your fear by simply saying, again, speak, for your servant is here, and I'm listening. In closing, let me just briefly talk about a fifth reason people often don't hear the leading voice of God. Like in the days of Samuel, many people are just asleep. They're asleep. And I'm talking not about natural sleep here. I'm talking about a spiritual slumber where even the high priest Eli was not hearing the voice of God, and he was asleep spiritually to the things of God. I think one of the reasons, it's a huge one in our culture today, is that like in the days of Samuel, Eli the priest and the people were not awake to God. It was as if they were overcome by a spirit of slumber. It's time to wake up. It's time to start praying again. I don't listen to talk radio much. Almost seems counterproductive to the distractions that I'm talking about in this message, but I was listening last week, and I heard a poll had been taken in our nation, and overwhelmingly, people feel like our nation is at an all-time low, that it's as bad as it's ever been, and it can't get much worse. Can I tell you, it's time for the church to wake up. I want to say all hope is not gone, because the light of the church has not gone out yet. But it's time for God's people to wake up and start hearing the leading voice of God again. I remember back in the 80s when a prayer message and a prayer movement came out, and I was right in the middle of this thing. And this series that was so popular, so widespread, literally going around the world, was a series called Could You Not Tarry 1 Hour? And the premise was where Jesus was praying in the garden, facing his greatest temptation to maybe not go to the cross. It says he was under so much pressure, so much stress, that he literally sweat blood. And he's praying, and he told his disciples to pray with him, and he came back and found them sleeping. And he said, could you not tarry 1 hour? And so the teaching that was going around there back in the 80s that I was right in the middle of was, could you not tarry with God 1 hour? Could you not pray? Could you not get up an extra hour early just to hear God's voice and to get into his presence and to pray? To pray for your family, to pray for yourself, to pray for your church, to pray for your city, pray for your nation, pray for revival to sweep across the world. Could you not tarry 1 hour? And people were doing it. They were getting up and they were seeking God and they were praying until it became so legalistic for a lot of people that they felt guilty if they ever missed. I want to say to you today, don't ever let that turn into something legalistic. But it is time to wake up and start praying again. Start hearing the voice of God. All hope is not gone, but the hope is in the church. The light of the world is still the body of Christ. And we can make a difference when we wake up and believe again that we can hear the leading voice of our Father, of our Shepherd.